This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Edwin Watts Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Carroll and Stone Insurance, Man O' War Golf, and Griffin Gate Resort and Spa. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. See, that kind of threw you for a loop, because normally sure I'm singing, I'm doing something. Good morning, Perry French, and all my peeps, our peeps, with Backspin Golf.
Good morning, and good morning to Christmas Carol as well. So I'm
and
that,
oh, get we'll that start
in
right out?
Yeah, get that in
Christmas
there.
Carol, a.k.a. Christmas Carol.
Yes.
When you get done with Backspin Golf this morning, go to podbean.com and click on Next on the Tee, and our buddy Christmas Carol, or Christmas Carol, whichever. Incredible golf podcast. Just incredible. How are you?
I'm great. It's, you know, the weather's finally turning to a little bit more like fall, which was makes it fun, and hopefully it'll rain a little bit because it is really hot and dry out there. But yeah, it's good. That's a fun time of the year.
Oh,
this is my favorite time of the year. We got baseball playoffs are just now beginning. Our Yankees go tonight.
Yes.
We've got certainly the NFL is in full swing as with college football.
Yes.
And my favorite sport, really, quite frankly, of all those three is hockey.
English Premier League.
Hockey.
Oh, hockey.
So the NHL has started up in the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been ready to watch.
A lot of stuff going on with
it.
Hockey is your favorite sport of all?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Really?
Playing hockey and you know, golf is as well, but I mean,
those three that's
sports,
a given.
Yeah.
Okay.
But certainly,
you played hockey?
Yes, I played hockey. Yeah.
See, this is, did you know that, Sean? Look at Sean's face. I know, he's massive. He's huge. When I look at Perry French, I think hockey player.
Hockey, that's, yeah, sure enough. That was a long time ago, but yeah. Yeah, we talked
I never
about
knew
this.
That. Yeah, oh, we did?
Yeah. Upstate New York, we played. We were I kept in the same high school hockey team.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, when do we talk about that?
Well, not
a while ago.
It was a snippet of a conversation.
That was
overtaken by the golf.
Yeah, and so part. As I always say, I can't remember where I live half the time, so I'm supposed to remember a snippet from however long ago. Anyway, all right. Let's just talk about this for a minute. So, on last week's episode of Backspin Golf, I got my new frontline putter, my Cleveland Golf frontline putter, and you did an entire segment on these putters, the two types of putters, the technology behind them, all kinds of stuff. So then I went out and actually played. I went over to Picadome and played. By myself, in the late afternoon last Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Nobody out there. It was great.
Nice.
About 5 o'clock, it was great. And I was so, I didn't even go over to the putting green and putt. My first putt with it was on the golf course. So on number one, I hit it par five, hit a really good drive, really good second shot. Hit my third shot on the front edge of the green. Mm. I walked it off. I had 45 feet to the hole. Pin was all the way in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit this putt, and I thought it was going in the whole way. Stopped right on the lip.
Mm-hmm.
I get to number two. I make an 8-footer for par on number two. Right in the middle. The whole day.
I think my first text was you when you
I
rolled
started,
like a 25-footer for birdie on four.
Correct. So that's correct.
And so I start getting...
No, actually, I think the... Oh, I put on Twitter about the 45-footer.
Yeah, the 25-footer you made for birdie, though, was the one you started...
I texted you a few times from the golf course.
My phone was blowing up all afternoon.
Yeah, until finally you went, okay, it's a great putter. I get it. Okay. I'm telling you...
It's fun to hear that, obviously.
I'm telling you, this putter, peeps... You have got to get one of these putters. It's as simple as that.
There's lots of great products out there. I always say that about my competition. But there are things in technology that players, golfers, as from the tour player on down, has got to find how they benefit them the most. And certainly the higher skill level you have, you say, technology isn't isn't a big factor. Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Well, there's a reason the pros, the best in the world, are using all this technology.
Correct. They again, it's not an easy sport.
No.
Correct? You know, like what you say, if it was easy, we wouldn't be playing this crazy game.
I would agree.
So at that level where it means the most, and the quarter of an inch left or right means the ball going in versus winning a Masters.
Right.
It's a huge deal. So, but when it comes to the rest of us trying to figure out how to play better golf and more consistent golf and play that career round and have that career golf year where you just, your handicap
right,
drops.
Right, the whole
play.
Summer you're
yeah,
playing
that's,
great.
I think that's the biggest flaw we all find is that we have that great round and then the next time out we're high hoping and hoping it's going to be the next way and it's not. It's only maybe a snippet of that round that shows up. So the technology that is in putters and it's there to do what it's designed to do, but you have to figure out which one, like we did.
Right.
You thought you were a square-to-square putter. In your mind, that's the stroke you're trying to make.
Right.
That's not to say that you weren't making that type of stroke, but the putter that you're using
My
has
net.
To match up the
right.
way it goes. And then when we take the way they, you know, why does a putter have a certain bend to it, a shape to the head, the offset part of that, those are features that have a very strong effect on your consistency. And that's what we found out for you. And then I think that added to some confidence for you, and you took that to the golf course, and then, of course, you
Absolutely.
Started seeing it. So that's what the best players in the world are doing, and that's what we're trying to bring to the everyday golfer.
Right.
So let's move that technology story to the rest of the bag, right? We're going to do a little couple of segments on the rest of the bag and how the things like moment of inertia, COR, torque, shaft way, these are all factors, offset. These are all things that you hear the terms and they say, what does that mean to you or to me? What
well, I'm it? Looking at you as I did last week, frankly, because I had no idea you were more like Professor Irwin Corey to me, using a lot of big things and not having any idea what
right.
you talked about.
Right, right.
Then I actually see that you actually do know what you're talking about, and
right.
I'm frankly a little surprised. But,
okay, well, thanks.
Okay. Yeah.
So okay. I digress, right? So we're going on from there. And to the next thing is, how does this affect what, to me, most people don't realize when they buy that set of irons? And irons are kind of they're the stable piece of that puzzle in your bag. People tend not to move off of their iron sets. They stay
right.
in the same brands. The Ping Loyalist always plays Ping, the Titleist, and the same
right.
thing with, you know, companies develop brand loyalists for the multiple things. The way it looks, that's the first sexy piece of the puzzle.
Right.
The type of material, whether it's forged or cast, how much glitter it has on it, and how it looks in what is the setup or the playing position. That instills confidence and you know, and the players develop that type of rapport with their irons. Wedges, similar, but not as much because there's a moving target. You simply replace your wedges more than you do
right.
here.
Absolutely.
And you have multiple wedges to based on courses and where you're playing. And then, of course, drivers are the most
people change driver.
See, and then yeah. fairways and hybrids are a unique piece of the puzzle. And I always tell people this, that when you find those clubs that work for you, and we've always said, stay with those. Technology is great in all of the above.
Right.
But when you pull out that little 5 hybrid that you hit all the time from 175 yards and it goes on the green or very close
right.
to the green, and you're never really missed, there's a reason why.
Yeah,
you may not know all the data, but you can't go to the next brand and buy a new one 4 years later and really find much difference in the technology. Yes,
right.
you might see something a little different shaped or a little,
yeah.
little bit, but it's hard to replace those clubs. Irons are a little different. Irons do have a life cycle. They're kind of like a car. About 4 or 5 years in, it starts losing its luster, and you had a little too many miles.
This is very interesting. It's a perfect analogy,
yeah,
actually.
You got to take this thing, and it needs to change. But the main thing that's changing is you. You, the golfer. That is the most important piece of the puzzle. Those golf clubs will work just fine for the right player.
If I stayed 8 years ago,
exactly.
my body, the way I turn,
physicality,
my flexibility.
This is where people make that mistake.
But I don't. So, yeah.
They make that mistake.
Right.
So, well, when I bought these clubs, they were tremendous. That's great. But how long ago did you buy these clubs? I've seen people, this is no kidding, who have 20-year-old iron sets. And they look at me like they're wondering why their iron game isn't very good. And I'm thinking, really? 20 years ago? This is crazy. It's not just a technology piece of the puzzle. It's you, the physical
it's
piece.
It's the you piece of the puzzle.
It's the you piece of the puzzle. So let's start matching up you with technology. And those little terms I mentioned. Moment of inertia, shaft weight, torque, offset, cavity back versus blade. These are all things that people hear and they understand somewhat, but
kinda,
they don't
but
really
not
know
really.
How it applies to them. So we're all getting older. That's a good thing in a lot of ways, right? But we also need to try to maintain using technology the same type of game we've had from a couple years ago and in our shot patterns, and we don't want to see a diminishing in distance. So technology can help maintain a lot of those variables and keep it close. Keep the dispersion of your shots down. Keep the trajectory of your shots up.
Right.
Have you be more successful on your miss hits. And there's where the thing lies in technology playing the biggest asset to us. And that's why we see 460cc head drivers with a high coefficient of restitution, the COR factor, to keep the ball flying pretty good on the
miss. Wait, hold on. What is that? What is COR?
It's the rebound effect of how when the club face strikes the ball, a rebound of how the ball reacts, how the face bends, how the face flexes.
So there's a kick to the ball. Okay.
Right. So if the face was a zero, the ball would go
a yard.
Yeah, it would do. So there was no rebound. So what happens is if the face was 100%, then that COR would be so high at 100%, 1.00, it would be very, very long and quite frankly, distance would be out of control for most players.
And it can't be that. There's a limit.
Right. So they use 830, which is 83%, as the determining factor to maximize the way a club can rebound. You remember years ago, I think it was in the early 2000s, Callaway introduced the 850 COR driver. It was illegal.
Right.
Arnold Palmer endorsed it. It was like recreational golf. If you're hitting the ball further, you're having more fun. You're playing more golf. If not playing competition golf, and not many of us do, really the percentage of players who play competition golf is really less than about 10% of the golfing public. So why not just have a driver? If you want to pay $500 for it at that time, which was a lot, then go ahead and get it.
If
I'm playing you and you can beat me with a driver that's illegal, then good for you. If you can beat me with 20 clubs in your bag, good for you. It doesn't really matter that you have 14 clubs. As long as they're, golf clubs.
We're not pros.
You're not putting a machine down there and rocket launching a ball against me. It's you. It's the human factor. And that's what I just got done saying. Why technology works for you. How it works for you.
Right.
So the big mystery is for players is when you get to wanting to make a purchase of a set of golf clubs, and we're talking about irons today, there's the three main factors that I want you to focus on.
Okay.
The first is the head style. It's the shaft's the most important thing. Sorry to disappoint you, but the shaft companies will tell you, if you actually were in a manufacturer's meeting, that the shaft is actually the third most important piece of the puzzle. Because it has the least variable on most players' effect. If I gave you a stiff versus a regular, there's very little variance in that, how it affects your ball flight.
Changed. I'm one of those guys that always say
same thing in the driver.
It's the perfect shaft for me. And that's the most important thing.
And it's not.
Okay.
The first piece, especially in an iron. Now, in a driver, that shaft value goes up a little higher.
Okay. But an iron.
But an iron set, because the head style, cavity back, that amount of cavity cut out of the club that makes that thing more forgiving on the peripheral, and the width of the sole, the size of the head, the weighting's positioning, where the center of gravity is, those are all real important factors to your success. Because why? Most irons are hit off of the turf.
Right.
You're not hitting it off of a tee like a driver. Right. The dynamics are very different.
Makes sense.
Okay. So, and then the fact is that you've got typically most of us 6 to 8 irons in the bag. Mm-hmm. They're varying aloft. And so that factor alone helps what we see in the consistency of shots, the trajectory and the curvature of the shot. So head style, while we all like the classic look of those blades and think, woohoo, good luck. You're not going to play very well on those miss hits. The maximum loss of distance is going to occur in those. Again, bite off as much as you want to bite off in that factor. But for most of us, we need to work into that. And then the second piece of the puzzle is the offset, the amount of offset, the way the hosel is fixed to the head.
Right.
So a blade has very, very minimal offset. This allows for maximum workability and shot shape control for the best players. It doesn't offer much forgiveness.
Right.
When we put some offset in, and again, some clubs have more, as you get into different models within an iron lineup, there's a moderate offset and there's a maximum offset to give that player the most forgiveness. Right.
It
depends on your skill. You can take a 20 handicapper and make him hit the golf ball like a 10 handicapper because you put more offset in his golf club. So his shots don't curve as much left to right or right to left. They go more straight because of the offset, how it affects the way the club face reacts when it strikes the ball.
Got it.
Again, a lot of factors here. Club face coming outside to in on the path or inside to out where you hit the ball in the center of the club face or the toe. There's a lot of things that you can factor.
Right.
So, Head style, head shot is choice. The third piece of the puzzle is the shaft, like I said, because the shaft provides the energy.
The whip.
The whip, the controlling factor, but it provides mostly for players' feel. If I gave you a heavy shaft, i.e. to compare, if I gave you a sledgehammer versus a ball peen hammer, you would know that you had two different hammers in your hand.
Probably.
To try to nail yes. the head on. I hope you did. Well, so if I give you a heavy shaft, you're going to swing that. It's going to feel
heavier.
Heavier, but it also could feel very good to you if you're a strong player with a lot of speed and
not
you want
yet,
that
not
control.
Me. No, it would feel heavier.
So within that scale, from heavy to light or ultralight, as we have with our Zexio brand, those are the factors that you have to determine for yourself as a player. And there are multiple choices in that shaft category.
Right.
Regular versus stiff, that's only about how the ball launches, quite frankly, the tip strength and how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's a factor called the load factor. That's what most players don't really correspond to. But Ernie Els has a very low load factor. Fred Couples, a low load factor. They don't transition the club harshly. It's very quiet.
Yes.
Okay. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, these players transition the club with a lot of load, so their shaft requirement is going to be much different than Ernie and Fred.
It's
but
just
they're both
all
very
different
long.
Swings.
Right. They're all they're both the same club head speed, 120 or 115 miles an hour. So why wouldn't they be the same shaft?
Right. Well, different swings.
Different load factors require, and then that one factor is the player. What that player likes to feel when they hit the golf ball.
Right.
That's why when you're testing clubs, you go, oh, that feels good. Well,
right.
If the feel matches the flight, it's probably right. That's always been my little saying in club fitting.
Say that again.
If the feel, what you feel when you hit the golf ball, matches the flight, meaning the trajectory and the curvature, it's probably a right way to fit. You can almost fit yourself just in a trial and error method.
Right.
Handful of shafts. Steel, graphite, doesn't matter what it is. The reaction is the shaft is working in sync with your swing based on load, all those things that they build in manufacturing to the different types of shafts that you have to fit. That's
now,
as a fitter, you have to be aware of those things.
And here's the most important thing as we wrap up. Go to Man of War Golf.
Mm-hmm.
Go when you get
your local golf club.
We always say, you do it with all your clubs, your driver.
Yeah, this is.
Go there and get a frontline putter. And find out, are you a square-to-square putter? Are you an arc putter? And especially with
all
irons.
The different models.
Try different models. Just get fit for your clubs. That's the whole
thing. Pretty simple equation. Help them. Let them help you navigate the multiple choices. And don't be hung up on what you think you need. Give it a try and let's see what happens.
Okay. Professor Irwin French.
Signing off.
Till next week. See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf. And joining me now, I think one of my favorite people. I think. But that opinion changes all the time with him. Brendan Sweeney, who he's got a very professional sounding title. He's the director of golf media relations and player development at one of my favorite places in the world, French Lick Resort. And we have a very big event coming, which I will be there for. Hi, Brendan Sweeney.
Hi, Matthew Lawrence. How are you today?
Okay. That whole title of yours, somehow, I have to come up with a better one and talk to them about it.
How about, it's the only thing that filled out all the space in my business card.
Oh, okay. See, that I never think of stuff like that. That's why you're in the position you're in. All right.
Absolutely.
In about a week's time, give or take a day or two.
That'll be the 14th, 15th, and 16th of October.
Correct.
For anybody who's paying attention.
Those are all my listeners pay attention, wise guy. Those are the exact dates for something that I can't wait to be there because I've been there for this. It's the Senior LPGA Championship, brought to you by Old National Bank. And this is one of my favorite things on the golf calendar anywhere. Tell us a little about what's going on up there with these. These women are just incredible.
Yes, they are. All over the age of 45, so we both have something in common with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the 14th, 15th, and 16th of October at the Pete Dye Course, French Lick, will be hosting the third edition of a senior ladies major, which is the Senior LPGA Championship, presented by Old National Bank. longtime partner of ours. And then this will be our seventh year. We had four Legends events prior to that.
Right.
So we've really gone to, we've really grew our wings with these ladies. But most importantly, we've watched the children at the Rally's Hospital for Children up in Indianapolis. We've really watched them grow up. And that's our main benefactor to the Senior LPGA Championship are the kids up at Rally's. There's 92 counties in the state of Indiana. But we've really watched, you know, the group of kids that come down. And it's crazy. For the last 7 years, so you look at the kids that were 10 back then, they're 17, 18 now. And to hear their stories and to see their families grow and blossom and have them circle this event on their calendar every year as a must-go-to has been really fulfilling to us. So, yeah, started off on Friday, what, the 12th?
Yeah.
That's Saturday. We have two pro-ams, and then most importantly, for the Legends side, at our West Baden Springs Hotel, we're the host of the Legends Hall of Fame, and a very dear friend of both of ours
yes.
is inducted into the Hall of Fame. That'll be one four-time major champion, Hollis Stacey from Savannah, Georgia.
Well, Hollis, I've known Hollis for decades. I'll just say decades. And
yeah.
I met her through my brother, Mitchie, who has been a very good friend of hers for a long, long time. And one of the truly great players in history on the LPGA Tour, as you said, four-time major winner, and just a wonderful, wonderful woman. And I'm so excited that I'm going to get to see her when I'm up there also. Who else? Tell us some of the other names that will be there.
Well, geez, you look at past champions, Laura Davies, our defending champion,
yeah.
Laura Davies. She had her hand in the Solheim Cup as well.
Yep.
Speaking of Solheim Cup, Julie Inkster, defending another champion, Lori Rinker, Lori Kane, Trish Johnson, who won the inaugural event.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty solid. We have 84 players, and we're really looking forward to a great event. And we'll be on the Golf Channel from 3 to 6 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's the 14th, 15th, and 16th of October. So with that being said, we are looking forward to showing off the Pete Dye course. It's a great event for us, but it's a great event for the town and the region in Southern Indiana to show off, you know, what has happened, what has transpired in the last 10 years since, you know, opened up the Pete Dye golf course. We've hosted, gosh, Matt, I think one, two, three, this is a four, five majors we have hosted in 10 years. And over 14, 15 championships we've hosted at the resort in the past 10 years. So we've been busy. This is our last year with the Golf Channel. We are looking, it just got way expensive, man.
Yeah.
it's outrageously expensive. And you look at how the Golf Channel runs, and we try to put an event on TV like that, and we're just getting priced out of the market, where we can't really look and say, wow, is it really worth X amount of dollars to do that? So we're going to be looking the year after, for next year and the following years. We have two more years after this with our commitment, at different options. So we may be streaming video,
yeah,
which is the way to go, and it really will save 90% of the outrageousness that they're charging us.
Well, there are so many other ways to go now. And obviously the Golf Channel is great for many, many things, but for something like this where, you know, budgets and money and the children's hospital, and there are so many other things at play here, you really don't need to do that because there are so many other platforms now.
Well, you look at the numbers from last year.
Yeah.
It was, say, 100,000 people watched. You know, I could have bought every one of those people a hot dog. Said, "Hey, enjoy the show," and still would have lost more money.
Yeah,
but
right.
But you know, with the savings of that streaming and the way that technology is, mm-hmm. and dealing with, you know, Ryan Ballingy from Golf News Net will be there. We're talking to him about possible using him as a platform to launch this Golf Week, which is owned by USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, LPGA. And as far as foreign distribution, I mean, I'd say that a third of our field is from outside the United States.
Right.
So, you know, you're looking at Europe, you're looking at, you know, we're starting to get some Asian players that are coming in. That's, if you look at the ages, you know, 45 years old. So
right.
That's sort of when the Asian invasion happened, and we're embracing that. That'd be great for our property, great for our product.
Yep.
But it's a way, you know, and we could take that money and give it back to the kids instead of, you know, spending it with the people down here in Atlanta.
Right.
So
right.
It's what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and we're going to learn from this. And we're gonna run with it.
Oh, man. It's gonna be fantastic. Wherever it ends up being shown, because the event is so great, and there's nothing better in golf as a fan when you go to an event than being around the women of not only the LPGA, because they're also fantastic, but the senior LPGA. These women go out of their way to embrace the community, to talk to people. They're so open and friendly and incredibly talented as well, that there's nothing better than this. And I can't wait to get up there, and I'll see you in about a week. And that part worries me, but I'll see you in about a week, and thanks for hanging with us.
Well, bring your sticks, because we're going to play the Ross course in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Believe me.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right.
I probably got about 25 beauty guys come up there, but every morning we'll go out and play. Follow me.
I'll beat you like a rented mule, my friend. I'm just telling you.
Promise?
All right. See ya. Thanks for joining us.
hey, Matthew, one more thing.
Yeah.
We also had a big announcement this week for anybody that's going inside of into Indiana. If you go to Bet, B-E-T, Rivers,
R-I-V-E-R-S. Yep.
BetRivers.com. We have an online sports book, and then we're getting ready to open up an additional hotel at French Lick. So we're putting in another 71 rooms right to the casino. So it's, I tell you what, the place is jumping. And
that's awesome.
If you guys want to swing over, we got some deals that are start working out for Sunday, Monday stay and play. With you bet the NFL games on Sunday, and then play golf Monday morning, stick around Monday Night Football. And
how cool is that?
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Wow. All right.
It is the dog that wags the tail, my man.
We'll talk. We'll talk more about this.
All right. MattRivers.com. Thanks, Matt.
All right,
buddy.
See ya.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.
Welcome back to Backspin Golf. Here we are again in the segment I like to call, what do I like to call this, Sean? I like to call this segment Hanging with Dan. I've never said that before. Hanging with Dan Houser. You know, every week we get to hang out with Dan Houser. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Houser Golf, H-A-U-S-E-R. Also at The Stiff Shaft. And thestiffshaft.com, which is one of the best golf websites and Twitter accounts. The whole thing's fantastic. Dan joins us now once again from sunny Florida. Hi, Dan.
How's it going? I got to say real quick, too, Hanging with Dan sounds like a 90s ABC Friday night sitcom, for the record.
Well, that's why I've never used it before, and I'll never use it again. So, you're right. That's what it does sound like.
Wasn't there that show in the 90s, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, right?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And
I'm dating myself, obviously. I'm proving to your audience how old I am here, but, you know, that's okay.
That's pretty funny, how old he is. I love when, you know, don't get me started with you. All right. Here's where I want to go with you first, and we go all over the place every week. Something happened this past week in golf, with somebody named Bio Kim. Why don't you explain to our listeners who he is, and then you and I will talk about what happened with him.
So he is a Korean golfer, and he is slash was the money leader on the Korean PGA Tour until the other day, when he's no longer technically, I guess, a member of that tour, at least for the foreseeable future. I don't really know how it really works over there, but he was the money leader over there in Korea. So,
and it's
I guess over, you know, I mean, in terms of this part of the world, I don't think he was very well known, but
well, he is now.
You're the money.
Well, yeah, he is now, and I'm guessing in that part of the in that area, he probably was very well known because he was the leading money winner on their tour.
Right, and he was playing in a tournament. He was leading the tournament at the time and actually ended up winning the tournament. And we should say the Korean PGA Tour is a pretty good tour. There are several kind of national PGA Tours that aren't really that great. The Korean PGA Tour is a pretty good tour. There's a lot of good players on that tour. So this guy's pretty good. And what did he do, Dan, during this tournament?
Well, there was a, so unlike in the United States here, where we have a function that too many people don't use, but that's besides the point. It's another conversation for another day. Over in Korea, it is actually illegal for a cell phone camera for you to be able to silence the faux shutter noise of that camera phone.
Right.
And so somebody pulled out their camera phone like all the time, and they took a picture in the middle of his backswing, like people do all the time here.
Right.
And he flipped them off and slammed his club down, like people do all the time here.
Like I see 10 times around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But apparently in Korea, that is, based off his punishment, apparently that's one of the worst things you could possibly do is flick somebody off.
Yeah.
And he was subsequently suspended for 3 years.
3 years for flipping somebody off on the tee.
And slamming his club.
And slamming his club. Yeah.
Now, I have to say real quick, before we even continue this conversation, golfers over here should be thrilled that that is not a rule in Europe and in the United States, because Sergio Garcia would be suspended for life like 50 times over if that was a rule in this part of the world. He would have never won the major last year, or a couple years ago, I should say, because he would have already been suspended for life 10 times over before we even hit that point.
Right, right. Yeah, this is an egregious breach of protocol in Korea, apparently. Now, as it went viral pretty quickly, like 10 minutes after it happened. It was all over Twitter. It's not the fact that he got suspended, because obviously every country has different rules and different protocols. But the fact that it was for 3 years sent shockwaves through the golf world. And it got over here. And Kevin Na, who has become, he used to be, none of us used to like Kevin Na. He was very slow. He had all kinds of weird things in his routine. He's learned from those things, and he's gotten a lot better. And he has a sense of humor, which I think a lot of us find pretty good. He got involved with this too, right?
Yeah, he was front and center on the front lines of defending him, and basically said that how it was absolutely,
absurd.
Yeah, absolutely, that they would give him 3 years. His caddy on Thursday, because they're playing in the Shriners this week, wore a free Bio Kim hat during the round on Thursday. So as I said on Twitter, when that news broke, not all heroes wear capes. Some of them wear caddy bibs. so that was cool that, you know, that happened. And I would be absolutely shocked if at least, I would be shocked if we don't see that name and that golfer over here in the United States in some capacity very, very soon, whether it's on the PGA Tour through some sponsors' invites or even the Korn Ferry Tour through some sponsors' invites. But I guarantee you that he won't actually be sitting on the couch doing nothing for the next 3 years. There will be tours around the world, whether it's here or in Europe or even Australia. You talked about how the Korean PGA Tour is very, very good, so is the Australian PGA Tour. Somebody somewhere is going to let this kid play golf. It just obviously won't be in Korea anytime soon.
Right. I've read a couple articles about this. I haven't seen anything where they talk about a possible appeal or a lessening of this or.
Well, that's the interesting part of this whole thing is that, you know, obviously that's a big no-no over there, and he knows it because he didn't even bother to try to appeal it. He got down on his knees and gave an apology to cameras that I don't think anybody in this country has ever seen before, an apology of that magnitude. So it's not like he did something and then it's like, really, like, I didn't even think this was a bad thing. Why are you suspending me? He knew right after he did it that it wasn't supposed to be done. If you look at the reaction from some of the people in the crowd when he did it,
yeah,
you can tell that it was a very, very big no-no and a very big thing that you're not supposed to do. So, I guess in the sense of we're so used to in this country of the non-apology apology, like, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, which is not really an apology at all.
Right.
Just saying, hey,
if you're offended by it, too damn bad, suck it up.
Right.
He took the very much opposite approach, and he actually said, I'm sorry, and meant it. So,
yeah.
And he's not, and by doing that, he said, I'm not going to appeal it because I feel like if I appeal this, it'll make my apology seem less genuine, which, you know, hey, maybe there are some things that they can teach us from over there about being sorry and contrite in this country, because you never see that over here.
I was just going to say that, and you're right. Hopefully, and I'm sure he will, he'll play somewhere else. And my guess would be he's learned from this about playing in Korea.
I'll tell you one thing. He can come over here tomorrow, and he'll fit right in. He can flick off entire arenas worth of people, and he'll just become even more of a cult hero for it. So come on over here, flick off anybody you want, slam the club wherever you want. Well, you know, it'll just make you even more of a hero or a popular guy, it seems to be, in this country.
Let him play in New York. I mean, me being from New York, I don't think I've ever flipped anyone off. So, you know, I don't get it. Anyway.
Hey, New Yorkers would love if you did that. They'd flip them off right back.
That's what I mean. It'd be perfect. Let them go play at Bethpage, and it'll be okay. All right, let's move on. You had some really interesting things up on Twitter, and not only you, I mean, but you're where I go for this kind of stuff. Brooks Koepka, who has been, as we all know, had some injury problems, and he hasn't played in the beginning of this season 2019-2020, which is in its fourth event, I think, already now. But Brooks had a press conference in Vegas, and he said some pretty interesting things, your guy, Brooks.
Yeah, he basically compared himself to LeBron James, which, I mean, man, we already knew this guy was fiery when it came to press conferences, but comparing yourself to LeBron. And basically what happened was that somebody asked him, they said, hey, what are your thoughts on the fact that, you know, you basically got snubbed out of the PGA Tour Player of the Year and Rory won it. And, you know, he straight up said, he says, I don't care about trophies. I'm here to win tournaments. Then followed that up by saying, LeBron James has only won four MVPs. Are you trying to tell me that he's not been the best player more than those 4 years? Which, listen, I understand where he's coming from. It was kind of a, you know, FU type quote, but he's not wrong. I mean, is there any argument that in the last, 15 or so years that LeBron's been playing in the league that he hasn't been the best player every year, but they've only given him that award four times? Are you trying to tell me that all those other years he wasn't the best player in all of basketball?
Right, right.
Because if you're going to tell me that, then I'm going to tell you that you're crazy, because there's no question that he's not been the top two or three player in the world for over a decade now. So, you know, I mean, he's not wrong. Obviously, you know, the way he went about wording it and saying it, I'm sure he was very much part of it. He thought that one out. That wasn't just by accident. But, he also wasn't wrong in what he said. I mean, you know.
I agree.
There's no real argument that he was the best player last year. He doesn't have the trophy to show for it, but neither does LeBron for countless years.
Well, I happen to agree with him. Not even about should he have won or not, but his argument about LeBron, I think, was well thought out. And, yes, he's right. Now, on the stiff shaft here, thestiffshaft.com, you're making picks here. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
We do that
every week.
Every week. And you didn't pick Brooks to win this week, did you?
Of course I did. You kidding me? I picked him before he even had that press conference. And then after he had that press conference, I doubled down and said he'll win running away.
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Now, he didn't do me any favors on Thursday with that one under round, but hey, you know.
Yeah. And once again, this is, you watch it and, 24 under is going to win or something like this.
Yeah.
They have to
worry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. They got to do something. Oh, by the way, we haven't really talked about that. Rory came out. And actually said he's not going to play. He doesn't want to play that much on the European tour anymore because the courses are too easy.
Yeah, basically. Basically say he's tired of shooting 15 under and finishing 30th.
Yeah, yeah. Which, what are your feelings on that? And then I'll tell you my feelings.
So my feelings are is his concerns and his issues are, while they are accurate, they are being directed at the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of these courses being too easy. It's about them not being set up in the right way.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't think that there is a quote-unquote right way to set up these courses anymore. And this is why I'm saying that he's directing his concerns and problems at the wrong people. These courses can't be set up difficult enough anymore because the technology advancements in clubs and balls has essentially rendered all golf courses that aren't 8,000 yards obsolete.
Right, right.
Unless you grow the rough out 5 feet and you know, have narrow shoots off every tee box and you make every pin in an impossible location, the fact of the matter is unless they dial back this equipment, yeah, you're going to shoot 15 under and finish in and tie for 30th.
Right.
And that's just the way the modern golf is now. So if you want to complain, don't complain to the people that set up the golf tournaments. Complain to your equipment reps and say, hey, guys, this is getting ridiculous. It's getting to be, you know, clown golf now. Maybe we need to dial it back a little bit.
Right. I agree 100%. It's gotten to the point where they're hitting the ball so far on these golf courses that it, short of, as you said, growing rough up to a foot and doing all that stuff, the natural defenses for when these golf courses were built are no longer viable. I mean,
if you're bombing it 380 off the tee, it doesn't matter if you're in the fairway or if you're 50 yards into the rough. Because
right.
At that point, you've got a 60-yard shot into the green, and it doesn't really matter where your ball's sitting at that point. There's no penalty really for hitting wayward drives anymore.
And, right.
You know, not every week. Don't get me wrong, obviously, but just overall in general, the penalties for hitting not into the fairway is not what it used to be.
Yeah. A lot of people got upset with it, with Rory saying that over there in Europe. But you know what? So what? I don't. Who cares? It's his life. If he doesn't want to play the European tour, too bad.
How many of those people are upset because they know he's right?
Yeah, and there's that, of course.
And how many people know that? How many people are upset because they know he's right and they know there's nothing they can do about it? You know, it's like
All right. Well, as always, I love talking to you, and hopefully some more weird stuff happens, and we'll talk about that next week.
Sounds good. Sometimes it'll be something good to talk about. Something always seems to pop up.
All right. Well, keep searching. I know you'll find it.
Sounds good.
Thanks, man.
All right.
See ya. All right. That'll do it for this edition of Backspin Golf. Thanks, as always, to Perry French, and Dan Hauser, and Brendan Sweeney from French Lick Resort. I can't wait. I'll be up there in a matter of days, and I can't wait to get back up there and see these incredible senior LPGA players. As always, thank you. Carolyn Stone Insurance Services, the best there is. Speaking of the best, Man of War Golf, best practice facilities, best top 100 club fitters in America, the best around here without a doubt. Edwin Watts Golf, always great stuff going on over there. The aforementioned French Lick Resort. Griffingate, Marriott Griffingate Resort and Spa, that fantastic Reese Jones golf course over there. And last but certainly not least, Lexington Parks and Rec. My home, Kearney Hill, and also the great golf courses that we have. Picadome, Lakeside, Tate's Creek, Meadowbrook. See you all next. I always say that, Sean. It's not TV. And I'm not looking at it. We'll talk to you all again next week on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.